From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Pablo Arauz Peña with your state and local news update. The Juneau School District is getting ready for students to return to in-person classes in January. This follows divisive public discussions over an earlier plan in November. That plan fell through after Governor Mike Dunleavy's urgent warning to Alaskans about the surge in COVID-19 cases in the state. The district says as of now, start dates for kindergarten through 12th grade are staggered throughout January, beginning on the 11th. By the 25th, all students will be back in the classroom. Superintendent Bridget Weiss says the district has various strategies in place to mitigate the spread of the virus.
We have communicated to parents and to staff that we do expect a symptom-free environment. So when a person is experiencing a symptom, then we ask that they not come to work if they're an adult and not to send their child if they are, if it's a student.
There's a symptom checklist families have to fill out for each student every day. Schools are requiring students and staff to wear masks covering their nose and mouth in schools. There are additional questions for families if they plan to travel for winter break or during the semester. Families who prefer online learning for the remainder of the school year will still have the option. The district posted more info for families on its website at junoschools.org. And in related news, public health data shows COVID-19 case counts appear to be trending down in Juneau once again. Local officials identified just three new cases today, and they've averaged just three per day since Friday. This follows a one-day spike of 17 cases on Thursday. The low new case count is extra noteworthy for two reasons. One, it's been almost 2 weeks since Thanksgiving, which is toward the tail end of when a potential surge related to holiday gatherings would likely show up in the data. And second, the city stood up a free temporary testing event last week to try to find and contain harder to detect cases among people without symptoms. Free asymptomatic testing appointments are still available through the city's website or by calling the city's regular COVID hotline at 586-6000. The city's risk level remains high. The city's COVID measures require that masks be worn indoors. They also limit bar and restaurant capacity to half capacity and gyms and personal service providers to quarter capacity. Alaska is heading into its darkest time of the year with an unsettling outlook for the COVID-19 pandemic. Steeply rising case numbers and deaths are hitting new highs. Now, though, we do have some good news. The first doses of COVID-19 vaccine could be here as soon as next week. Nat Hertz with Alaska Public Media has the story.
State health officials announced Alaska's first batch of vaccine at a media briefing Monday. 35,000 doses from drug company Pfizer that could start being injected into people's arms as soon as next week. Chief Medical Officer Dr. Ann Zink's analogy is that we're like a pilot at the end of a flight who can finally see the runway.
It's kind of like landing a plane. I think it's going to be a turbulent couple months. There's a lot going on with a lot of cases and a lot of hospital capacity, but the end is in sight, and this is a huge tool in our toolbox.
State officials say the initial shipment should be enough to cover several of the groups prioritized in what's known as phase 1A of the vaccine distribution. Frontline healthcare workers, residents and staff at long-term care centers like nursing homes, community health aides, and emergency medical responders. While it will likely be months before the vaccine can be given to broader groups of people, Zink says even the limited numbers in the first batch, which is enough for about 5% of Alaska's population, will still have broad effects.
So if we're able to protect people in long-term care facilities from getting seriously ill from COVID, then we're able to kind of pull off all of the testing that we're doing there and the PPE and be able to pull that out and be able to reallocate it to other critical infrastructure workers into schools.
Alaska faces extra challenges in delivering the Pfizer vaccine because doses have to be kept at an extremely cold temperature, which could make it difficult to reach recipients in remote areas. Officials say they hope to target those people with another vaccine made by a company called Moderna that has less rigorous handling needs and should arrive not long after the Pfizer version. In the Southwest Alaska hub community of Bethel, Travel provider YKHC is expecting to get 1,000 vaccines that it will keep in an ultra-cold freezer borrowed from the University of Alaska. Then doses will be loaded into coolers and flown on chartered planes that will go from village to village, says Incident Commander Jim Sweeney.
It's go out, coordinate with the people there. They come out to the runway, we inject them, and then we take off and go to the next place and do the same thing all over again.
Beyond logistics, another challenge is convincing Alaskans to take the vaccine. At a hearing earlier Monday, Zinc fielded a barrage of questions about its safety and efficacy from state senators like Republican David Wilson of Wasilla.
We've heard from a couple of constituents that want to know, is the vaccine any way going to alter a person's DNA?
Thank you for that question. No, the vaccine will not alter your DNA. So the way that your cells work, the DNA is then transcribed into RNA that then makes proteins. This messenger RNA cannot get into the nucleus or the mitochondria where DNA lives.
For the healthcare providers that are being hit with an onslaught of COVID-19 patients, the vaccine news feels like a light at the end of the tunnel. But they also can't look past what they're dealing with right now, said Jared Kosin, who runs a trade group representing Alaska hospitals and nursing homes. Kosin's members are also concerned about getting employees on board with taking the vaccine, since many of them will be the first in line to get it. Because it will be approved on an emergency basis, providers won't be able to require people to take the COVID-19 vaccine in the same way they do for the flu, Kosin says.
I am hearing from kind of a human perspective that there's just anxiety about being in the front lines and being the first ones to do this. I think the onus is on us to all make sure that clean, correct, scientific information is getting out there. And all that information points to this vaccine being safe and effective so far.
Federal regulators are expected to approve the Pfizer vaccine for emergency use as early as Friday. In Anchorage, I'm Nat Herz.
Heavy equipment operators have been clearing mudslides off roads in Haines following the storms over the past week. Henry Leisha reports.
It's pouring rain on top of 6 inches of ice-encrusted snow. Plow trucks have been making their way around Haines this Sunday morning, clearing the streets. Once they are done, many of these same drivers will get to work, repairing the town's damaged roads.
We're all in a danger zone right now, just so you know.
Scott Gray is the Southeast Alaska Operations Superintendent for the Alaska Department of Transportation. He's heading out of town to check the progress along Lutak Road, the area he is most concerned about.
Catastrophic. The amount of slides or mudslides, the bank failures, the debris flows, whatever you want to call them. Yeah, it's just huge.
Dozens of slides have covered the 10-mile stretch of road that connects downtown Haines to the freight dock, the ferry terminal, and Chilkoot Lake. In the summertime, scores of tourists travel to the end of Lutak Inlet to watch bears feed on spawning salmon. Along the way, they pass vacation rentals and homes with scenic views of the ocean and the mountains that loom above it. After the first slides came down last week, it took days to clear a safe path so that residents living out here could make it back into town. Gray says now Alaska Power and Telephone is working on the power lines.
I mean, you got beautiful homes here that are in avalanche, or not avalanche, but debris flow areas. And we have workers that are working right in the middle of it all, trying to get people power back. They're really in a very hazardous situation here.
After checking in with the crew working on the power line, Gray drives to the very end of Lutak Road.
I'll go up here and get a turn around.
He pulls up to a debris flow that has tipped over a vacant 3-story home and swept 2 vehicles. Jamie Grubb lives next door to the leaning house. She and her husband Vance were asleep in bed when the slide came through their home early last Wednesday.
We sat up in bed, and by the time we got out of the bed, which was within 30 seconds all of this happened, the sand was already coming through the door downstairs.
The slide broke through a wall, but nobody was hurt. Her neighbors have all evacuated, but Grubb and her husband are staying in a mobile home nearby so they can make some repairs.
Yeah, they came and told us that we should evacuate, and of course we're just stubborn. But once we're done with this, we need to start going to town and start helping other people that need help. But we just got to get our wall up and finish so that our pipes don't freeze.
Grubb says it took 2.5 days to clear the sand out of her house. The next task is to cut some nearby trees down to prevent them from falling on the roof in case there's another mudslide.
Yep, we'll be good.
Thanks, Jamie, really appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Thanks, you guys. Have a
good day. Gray drives back to town. He'll be here till Friday assisting the local Department of Transportation staff. By Sunday evening, Alaska Power and Telephone had fixed the power lines along Lutec Road, bringing light back to the end of the inlet. In Haines, I'm Henry Leisha.
And this is KTOO News in Juneau.